Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on The Score.
Bernstein and McKnight broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. Visit your local Hyundai dealer in the first ever 8-passenger Hyundai Palisade. We are looking forward to having a conversation about some of those subjects you actually heard Matthew Trueblood just talking about, what's going on with minor leaguers and major leaguers as well. Former White Sox infielder Micah Johnson is going to join us at 10 to talk about some of that stuff. We've got the midday midway at 10:40. We've got Scott Darling, the former Blackhawks goalie who's had himself quite the harrowing week trying to get home from his team in Austria and everything that he's gone through. We're going to get his perspective on everything that's going on at 11. At 11:20, we are going to once again open the magical mystery jar. I also have another fantastic baseball trivia question that we're going to get into today, and some surprises along the way as well. 312-644-6767 is the number at WSCR The Score. You email us at BernsteinandMcKnight@670thescore.com. That's where you go to listen to us live, because we're streaming at 670thescore.com. Text the text zone 67011. It's brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com. When you text, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter's at Bernstein_MCK. He is at C1 McKnight. I am at Dan_Bernstein. Download the radio.com app.
Be completely honest with you, Dan. I miss the hell out of Tiger King this weekend. I know. The sheer excitement, the uncertainty, the terror of watching something like that for the first time, and I guess we all need to take a moment to thank Tiger King for bringing us through a solid 72 hours of this social distancing.
Yeah, they gave us a little bit of something. I see you see the picture of Gardner Minshew that he did Jaguar King. He made he photoshopped himself, his face onto Joe Exotic next to a tiger, and he called it Jaguar King, and it was like the mustache, the mayhem. So more props to Gardner Minshew for that. When you download the radio.com app, you can stream The Score on your mobile devices. You can watch a live video stream of the show, interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. I mentioned the video feed out of habit. Of course, you don't, believe me, you don't want to see a video feed of this particular show at this point, or maybe you do in sort of a morbid way.
No, you don't. I can answer that question. There's no reason for you to see a video feed of either of us right now. It is bleak.
You've got Jay Zawoski. We have Rick Camp still on the board. We have the Mexicutioner, Ray Diaz, in the back doing what he does. I hope you had a wonderful weekend. I hope everything was as weekendy as could be. We our family did a deep clean. We've decided every Saturday we've divided up cleaning chores down to dusting, vacuuming, the whole thing. So that's been our Saturday. I think today is going to be decluttering day, because the more you clean, the more you realize how much crap is accumulated in the house.
Oh, yeah. No, we did the I got into the deep clean last weekend, I think. Really removed a number of things, got into it there. This weekend was making sure we delineated from week to weekend. You know, just kind of reminding yourself that even though you are here at the house, these 2 days are different. So find things to do to make them different. We had the checklist of stuff to accomplish, got through some of those. Excused ourselves for not getting through the rest of them. It's just, you know, when you're wearing the same sweatpants or not pants, it's, you got to make sure that you're making Saturday and Sunday just a little bit different one way or another.
Nice to see a little bit of sunshine out there today. It's going to make the daily walk all that much more enjoyable and valuable, getting a little bit of necessary vitamin D in there for all of us who crave a little bit of sunlight here and there. But it's important to make time to do that. Hope you're doing okay, because I know it's not easy. It's not easy for any of us. And I've mentioned this before, that if you want to call in and talk about whatever sports topics we're finding to talk about, we're there. But if there's just anything else, as it's really important to know that if you need something to kind of grab onto for just a connection, a little social, less of a distance, please, please feel free to do so. Whether you're texting in, whether you're emailing, whether you just want to pick up the phone and call, we'll do our best to get to you. And we're here for you at 312-644-6767. You know, another day, and it's another interpretation of the Bears quarterback room right now. Because initially, but a couple of weeks ago, Connor, you and I had an argument slash discussion where I thought that Nick Foles was being brought in to make things more serious and up front for Mitchell Trubisky. You said, nah, you don't bring him in and pay this kind of money for him to be the starter. Brad Biggs then agreed with you. Brad Biggs said, look at what they're doing here. There's no way they're bringing him in just to try to somehow make Mitch realize the seriousness of the situation. And I get that. But now we had an insider report, it's sort of behind the paywall at ESPN.com, Jeremy Fowler. This is no little rumor. He says multiple sources say the Bears will essentially hold an open competition for the top quarterback spot. And though the incumbent will have the inside track, nothing is promised. So this is an affiliated, accredited reporter saying multiple sources, saying open competition with the incumbent having the inside track. Now I don't know what to make of it. I'd love to know where Brad Biggs stands based on what he's been hearing.
Here's exactly what that means. I promise you this is what that means. The inside track is going to be snaps. Remember, we talked about this from the very outset. It's if you're going to create a competition, tell me the snap counts. When you get into camp, when we finally get back to life as we used to remember it, as close as that could possibly get in the lives of the NFL, when we get back to camp, what that means is that Mitch will get 60% of the snaps and Nick Foles gets 40% of the snaps, or however they divvy it up. And I promise you, what's going to happen there is that Mitch is going to look great in his 60% of the snaps. But I'll tell you what, Nick Foles is really showing you that he's been in a couple of places. He succeeded in a couple of different offenses. Maybe next week we got to go to 50-50. And shoot, I'll tell you what, week after that, Nick's looked real good. And it would be a disservice to the team if we didn't see what he could do with this 60%. Mitch is still getting 40% of the snaps. There aren't any backups in the NFL to get 40% of the snaps the way Mitch is getting 40% of the snaps in week 3 of camp. And I promise you that he's got a chance to win this job still with the 40% of the snaps that he's going to get. And then week 4, it goes like this. Nick Foles is our starter. I promise you that's where we're headed here. I promise.
Yeah, I remember having a conversation years ago, and man, for the life of me, it must have been during Grossman Orton when we were talking with Boomer Esiason about this. And there's separate tracks that the team is going to have to be on here. One is going to be your track with the public. And it's if these practices are going to be closed, if there's no Bourbon A wide-open training camp, we're not going to have the breathless chronicling of every rep. And it's going to be really trusting that the team is telling you the truth or not. There's the public sort of forward-facing stance on who's doing what and who's where. But it comes down to the fact, internally, the players always know. And that's where you can't screw up. That's where a coach loses trust. And that's when I'm not talking about some dumbass Jim Boylan leadership council thing. What I mean is you've got to have, if the test of Matt Nagy's, so far what really has been his strength, even through last year, even through a down crappy year, is that Nagy seems to get it when it comes to connecting with his team, connecting with his veterans, understanding the pulse of his team. That's why ball don't lie. And if he makes a choice that goes against what his players seem to intuit, what they see, what they know, then your season is off the rails. Then you're just screwed up, because then the muttering begins, and then it's, yeah, man, give us a chance. We know, and that's, you can blow this thing up by screwing it up with your internal evaluation.
No, I think you're right. I think what that means to me is I would love to go back and get the unfettered accounts from Bears coaches about Mitch's first preseason and his second. And I would love to break down that tape and really kind of think about, okay, what are mistakes here that can be attributed to Mitch Trubisky in the first year of Matt Nagy's offense versus Mitch Trubisky being bad and just being in his second camp at the same time? Because if he has the camp that he had last season, by all accounts, by everybody who was there reporting on it, who weren't allowed to actually report on things, to Patrick Finley drawing cartoons on Instagram about what was happening in Bears camp or whatever, he goes through and has the camp he had last season against that terrifying Bears defense. You know, the one where we all made excuses for Mitchell Trubisky. How could you possibly compete a pass against the 2019 Bears?
Oh, he can't be expected to complete a pass. Come on. Look who he's going against. How dare you hold him to that standard against this defense, please?
He's got Prince Amukamara on one side, who was benched and then cut after the season was over. You can't have that camp. And if you do, then Nick Foles made, you know, I know it's not his choice to go to the Bears, but obviously it's a trade that moves him there. But he's in a position that's probably the easiest starting job he'll have to win, you know, in his career.
I guess I want it to get to this point. I would love for a Bears quarterback, whether it's Nick Foles or Mitchell Trubisky, whether they're standing in that confetti shower at the Super Bowl or not, I would love for a Bears quarterback to have reached a sociopolitical status in which the President of the United States enlists his help in battling the coronavirus. What is Tom Brady going to say? In case you missed it, apparently the outreach from the very top is like, well, what to do? Well, here at the Justice League of America, they're going to send out the call, Alex Rodriguez and Tom Brady. Alex Rodriguez and Tom Brady apparently consulted as to not Dr. Fauci, not Dr. Birx, not anybody who actually, you know, has a medical degree, but maybe Tom Brady and Alex Guerrero would then come in with his advice?
Yeah, well, Alex Rodriguez was called as well. That phone call happened at some point earlier in the week, which I'm just glad to know. I assume what that means is that we as Americans will all be issued our very own vibrating spear and the likeness of Jennifer Lopez to get us through the pandemic. I feel like that's probably just going to be the FDA recommendations for us, right?
Well, if the TB12 yoga mat and the vibrating sphere, and that's like an $80 vibrating sphere, that's only
is
the
that
best,
what that
right?
runs you?
So, I think so. If we could also get like the $20 special electrolyte water, maybe we combine the two, and we are all issued a vibrating Jennifer Lopez likeness.
That's, you know, for $80, I've spent $80
right?
a lot worse ways than that. I'll tell you what, you know, it looks like, Dan, I hate to tell you, it looks like the Tom Brady, the TB12 vibrating pliability sphere is running up to $150 right now. So
wow.
It may be, yeah, it may be the checks we're all going to get are going to have to go a little bit chunkier toward the TB12 vibrating sphere. At what price your health, you know? I mean, how could you possibly look at that sphere and say, well, this comes at the recommendation of Rodriguez and the president. So now I have to get in on this.
Well, I do think that if the federal order is invoked, you can demand that our car companies begin producing TB12 vibrating spheres to be sent out to all of us to save us from the invisible menace with which we are at war. It amazes me that this is our intersection of sports. It's like, well, what are these some of the biggest names in the biggest name in baseball, the biggest name in football? It's like, guys, what do you think of the coronavirus? I don't know. Like, he calls Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah.
It's the president on line four, Mitch. What do you think? I really think you should stay hydrated, and that'd be really good. And, you know, work really hard and get a lot of reps and just get a lot of reps and try to make sure you're really hydrated. Thank you, sir.
And turn the TV off.
Yeah, that's right. Don't forget. That's actually not terrible advice, but yeah, turn the TVs off and stay hydrated.
That actually works out pretty well. Oh, sorry, I have to leave. I remembered that I don't know what a zone coverage looks like, President, so I have to go and figure out what the hell that is.
This segment is brought to you by Denny's. Denny's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Order your favorites from Denny's at Denny's.com. Pick it up or have your Denny's favorites delivered right to your door with free delivery. You're hungry. Denny's delivers for free. Order now at Denny's.com. We come back. There is a name that is once again floating out there as far as an NFL trade possibility, and I have yet to see the Bears connected to this name. It's sort of reinvigorated a rumor that had been out there for some time, but I'll give you the name, and then we'll find out what we think of this possibility, because he apparently wants out from where he is. All that and more, and we've got some baseball talk. We got some cool baseball trivia stuff. We're going to talk to Micah Johnson. We are going to talk to Scott Darling a little bit later on. The Magical Mystery Jar gets opened today as well. All of it coming your way. Bernstein and McKnight, Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
We believe in Mitch. You know, Mitch knows he needs to be better. We need to be better around him, and that's our goal.
Ah, better around him, says Ryan Pace. Well, how do you do that? You start compiling a bunch of weapons for him to get the ball in the guy's hands and let him go somewhere with it. And right now it's kind of eh. You know, we know that with Allen Robinson there, that's the guy that Mitch has been looking for every time. Maybe Nick Foles might be better at actually, you know, going through the progressions and finding other guys. But did you see the tweet Friday night from Brandon Cooks?
I did see that tweet. He's since clarified it a little bit, but whenever an NFL player who's on a team is jettisoning core members as quickly as the Rams have had to, they're paying Jared Goff about $1 billion to play quarterback at an average level for them. You know, a guy tweets, free me, the way Brandon Cooks did, and it deserves a little follow-up question. It you deserve to find out exactly, wait. Are you being traded again? Do you want to be traded again? Is this another situation where you've got to find a better place to be a speedy downfield receiver who's worked in other stops along the way, too?
Here's the breakdown from Peter King's, what is it again, Football Morning in America.
It's such America a, Football, Football America Morning America Football. I think that's the name of the column.
I never get it right. I always try to commit it to memory. It's like when people try to explain the rules of craps to me, the things I'll never understand how craps works and the name of Peter King's football column. But here's the chunk about Brandon Cooks. It says, "Free me," Brandon Cooks tweeted Friday night, spawning questions about his status with the Rams. Does he want to be traded, or is "free me" referring to some sort of get me out of this quarantined life? Said, after an earlier version of the note ran, I was told by two sources that Cooks is not on the block, but if that changes, it would continue one of the oddest careers of a very good player ever. So here, follow along here. Cooks was drafted 20th overall by the Saints in 2014. In 2016, at 23, catching passes from Drew Brees, Cooks was the Saints' deep threat, averaging 15 yards a catch with 8 touchdowns. 2017, traded to the Patriots for the 32nd pick in the first round. At 24, caught passes from Tom Brady. His 16.6-yard average resulted in Brady's best and most consistent deep threat in years. 2018, traded to the Rams for the 23rd pick in the first round. And at 25, caught passes from Jared Goff, and his 1,204 yards were the most in his career, the key receiver on a Super Bowl team. Now, in 2020, Cooks has had concussion issues. His production dipped to 3 catches per game, by far a career low. An acquiring team would owe him $20 million in the next 2, and then could cut him without a hurtful cap hit. For about 4%, then 5.5% of the cap over the next 2, he could be the missing link to a contending team. But it would mean the Rams would be willing to deal him. He says, it's amazing that one player at age 26 has already been worth the 20th, 32nd, and 23rd picks in 3 different drafts.
That is a really kind of stunning appraisal of value, especially for, you know, a wide receiver in the league who, yeah, has pedigree and has a lot of accomplishment there. But I don't think anybody would tell you that Brandon Cooks is a really well-rounded receiver. He's got a bunch of speed. He runs a handful of routes really well. I think he's effective in a complementary... I shouldn't say he's a complementary option, but when he's got proper parts around him, it seems like he's... And a damn good quarterback. It seems like he's absolutely worth having. What have we talked about really throughout the entirety of Matt Nagy's tenure with the Bears? There needs to be a little bit more speed available to whatever quarterback is chucking it deep. I mean, it was nice to have Taylor Gabriel while he was around, and he had some wheels. Tariq Cohen, I think, is essentially a wide receiver now. I assume that's how he's going to be deployed more often than not. And if he is in the backfield, I think he's running routes that are a lot more receiverish than running backish.
You don't where he runs in between the center and the right guard and he's hitting the backfield and falls down? You don't like that play? We're done with that?
I'm not a huge fan of that play. I don't know why we're calling that play on purpose. I think here's the issue with really the Bears' offensive personnel. It feels like regardless of who you're talking about, with the exception of perhaps Allen Robinson, if you have Jimmy Graham on the field, if you have Trey Burton on the field, if you have Tariq Cohen on the field, you know what they're doing. You understand? Like, Matt Nagy wants to throw the ball. He's not much of a runner of the football. But if you put either one of those guys on the field, and hell, you can throw in Cordell Patterson too, if that guy's out there, the defense kind of knows where you're going. If Brandon Cooks on the Bears is, you know, kind of crazy as that sounds right now, if that helps Matt Nagy disguise where he's trying to go with the football, then I'm all for it, because right now it looks like he's telegraphing his pass.
And Rick Camp makes a good point in our little group chat here, because he mentions that the Bears are tight on the cap and they don't have the draft pick contracts on the books yet either. So that might be preventing him from taking on the money. You know, you mentioned a name too. Nobody signed Taylor Gabriel. And if he's healthy, is Tariq Cohen's evolution into a wide receiver preventing them from having two diminutive speed slot guys, and it's just too redundant a thing? Because Taylor Gabriel, it's not like anybody's grabbing him. He's still there, and he's still fast.
You got to imagine health is an issue there, right? I mean, wouldn't Taylor Gabriel fall under the same kind of conversation that we're dealing with as far as that we're dealing with in Cam Newton's free agency? Not that either one would offer the same kind of impact as the other, but if you can't get your doctors to go run a medical on a player, then you're not going to be willing to sign the guy to, you know, potentially the money that Gabriel, you know, for what he's been, probably deserves. And then Cam Newton's contract demands, I have no idea. But if you can't get your doctors onto a guy, then I don't think you're going to take that risk at this point in free agency.
No, probably not. Although the Cam Newton thing, the more I'm reading now, and I don't know if this is a product of the content, the gaping maw of sports content that needs to be filled. But reading some of what's being discussed regarding Cam Newton is that now his situation has become so much bigger, and now it's becoming about the state of the black quarterback, and there's all this added context and weight to it that I don't think is necessarily correct or fair. I'm certainly open to some of that discussion, but boy, and I guess we should have seen it coming, but there's a lot of this thing like, what if Cam Newton weren't this particular profile of quarterback and how that's going to ultimately affect everything. I've just over the last few days, some of the writing and some of the observation of his situation has become a lot heavier.
Yeah, I think it's fair to wonder about that situation, about his being a black quarterback, about the NFL's overall reluctance toward black quarterbacks throughout the history of the league, and that hasn't dissipated as much as you'd hope that it would over the last, you know, decade or so, though it has some. Cam Newton, yeah, obviously it has to do with, you know, who he is and what position he plays. It has to do with the fact that he won an MVP. It has to do with the fact that we've not got a lot else to talk about. But Dan, have you seen what Cam Newton has done essentially online over the last week or so? The workouts that he's posted, the, you know, they didn't trust me or they gave up on me kind of mantra that he's been kind of chanting in this. It looks like a damn movie set. It's awesome. The guy is putting up workout videos. He looks incredible. He's pumping out videos that make it feel like you would hate to pass on this guy. He's drawing this whole feel toward a production in the offseason that makes you feel like, boy, if you miss out on Cam Newton now, if you're the team that needed a quarterback, saw all of this stuff that Cam Newton had been doing in pass, and then he goes out and has any kind of season at all, you're just going to hate yourself. You're going to hate yourself for years is what you're going to do. And I don't know if any of it's true. I don't know if Cam Newton has a shoulder that's going to work and throw the football. I don't know how his leg is. But it looks awesome, and it's a story that I'm willing to watch while we sit here in our houses, you know, starved of sports content. I am all there for the Cam Newton workout comeback kind of trail. It's crazy that we're in a spot that fills entertainment voids. I don't know if it works for you, I don't know if it does anything for you, but it has for me, and I find that in and of itself pretty strange right now.
Well, to me, it's probably more like one of these pre-draft videos that you see, whether it's Jerron Gilbert jumping out of a pool or Tariq Cohen doing his backflip stuff. What matters with Cam Newton is his bottom half connected to his top half in a way that he's accurate with his passing? And that guy's going to just look great for pose down, and those videos could be awesome. But if you showed me a video of him on a field, you know, breaking plates with pinpoint passing, right, That's a little different. You know, you see a guy with show me even one of those fake pass rushes where you get a big fat coach who's trying to hit him with a broom. You know, there's all sorts of ways to do it where you get the guy, like, you know, waddling around and sweating and trying to wave a broom at him. You know, show me him threading it through spots on the move, and I'll be a whole lot more impressed. It's great narrative, it's great theater, but I don't know if it means anything. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure I'm not denying you your entertainment. I'm not trying to invalidate your feelings, but I'm just saying, if I'm a scout, I'm not going into my boss and saying, you got to sign him because I've seen this stuff.
No, they're absolutely not. Nor am I advocating for any of those scouts to do that. They'd lose their job if they did it that way. But it's crazy what passes for sports theater right now. Cam Newton is part of it. And I also think that that video of him, you know, hitting plates and moving around on some sort of, you know, AstroTurf field where there's no one else around, we'll have a Cam Newton, like the Tua video we saw, was it last week we saw the Tua video where he's, you know, hot stepping between a whole bunch of different cones and doing mobility drills and stuff like that. We'll have one of those for Cam Newton soon. I think that's where a lot of guys are going to have to post their videos because they... You know, for whatever it's worth, that kind of hype can help in a crazy state of flux the way we are. I mean, scouts can't get to places. They may as well throw those videos out for themselves.
The bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Football. Coach Fitz and the Wildcats host Nebraska and Maryland this fall at Ryan Field. Buy tickets now at nusports.com. And as you bring that up, I don't know if you saw the interview with Lee Steinberg, super agent Lee Steinberg, who actually says that, as you know, we talked about last week, that maybe not overthinking a draft is going to be good for everybody. And he thinks that all this is going to do is really separate the good scouts from the not so good scouts and the teams that trust themselves and know what they're doing, and that there's going to be kind of a shaking out here when teams aren't able to have meeting after meeting after meeting. That he thinks that maybe not overthinking some of this, having a little bit less available to you, might in the long run be better for everybody and might just prove who's really good at this and who isn't. I don't think that's an invalid hypothesis.
No, I don't think so at all. It also means that the Bengals will screw this whole thing up and not take Joe Burrow at number one if that all plays out. You realize that's
no.
Where you're headed here. No.
The
Bengals don't have a scouting department. They haven't for years. All that means is that if this is really going to sift and winnow us down to the best scouting departments in the NFL and expose those who aren't, that means the Bengals are going to go with, I don't know, Herbert or something like that at one and Burrow fall.
No way. No way. If any team were to screw it up that way, it would be the Bengals. But maybe, no. I'm not going to go that far with it. And for those who are making the point on the text line that talking about a draft pick is different than talking about a relatively recent former MVP. Of course you're right. Of course he's proven it at the NFL level, and he also has to be looked at just as, you know, when we brought up Colin Kaepernick, mm-hmm. has to be looked at in the context of the season that Lamar Jackson had. We can't say that didn't change things. It didn't change the way people thought about their offenses and how to coach and what guys can do. And I think John Harbaugh sort of said, hey, if you've got somebody who stuff like that, it's okay to do it.
Yeah, and for that matter, I think that's another perhaps point of evidence toward Nick Foles starting for the Bears. You know, you saw Mitchell Trubisky's athleticism kind of pulled back from the offense last year. Now you had an injury, you know, to a shoulder that obviously was part of the reason you didn't see him run as much. You had a backup in Chase Daniel, who after, you know, Mitch sat with that injury, obviously showed you that he's not a guy to win you a football game. So you've got to keep Mitchell Trubisky somewhat healthy even during that season. But I, you know, if you look at the kind of guy, the kind of quarterback that Matt Nagy would rather have in that offense, the Nick Foles profile is a lot more like that guy than Mitch Trubisky is. I can't part myself from that, and it's why I think, regardless of what gets said about the inside track, this, that, and the other, Nick Foles is going to be, I think he's going to be your starter come week one.
He's Connor McKnight. I'm Dan Bernstein. Bernstein and McKnight Show. We are on middays, 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score. And when you are at home and when you're kind of walking around or just futzing around the house like so many of us are, make sure you tell your smart speaker to play 670 The Score. We are live, we are local, and we're here with you hanging out. So stay socially distant from people, but you probably should also get some fresh air. Don't forget to wash your hands really well. There's a video, by the way, and I retweeted this. I want to say our guy Sage Rosenfels did too. It's someone in Spain did a video while wearing white latex gloves and using a dark pigment as if it's the soap and just showing how to actually properly wash your hands. It sounds a little silly, but when you see it laid out like this, it's a really graphic way of looking at the areas on our hands that we forget often, that we sort of take for granted, that we think it's clean when it's not. So I suggest watching that video. Show it to your family. Show it to your kids. And it's a really good way to make sure that you're adhering to best practices. But I'll mention it again. You listen to doctors. Listen to the people who are listening to doctors, and eventually we're going to get through this, and we look forward to being with you throughout it, talking sports and talking other things. We've got a busy show today. We got some baseball stuff coming up next. We're going to hear from Joe Buck. We're going to talk to former White Sox infielder Micah Johnson at 10. Midday Midway, I am psyched for the Midday Midway because I have a heist that happened last night, a major breaking heist that we have to get
to.
And I've got an absolutely kick-ass trivia question that is going to blow up the text line. And I made sure not to mention much about it in the pre-show meeting because I want everybody involved as they can with you also trying to guess. This is a terrific trivia question. Scott Darling, the former Blackhawks goalie, is going to tell his coronavirus-related story at 11 o'clock, an international story of intrigue at 11. Magical Mystery Jar at 11:20, and we'll play another edition of Who Am I? That's going to be a thing, too, on the show at 11:40. So a lot to come. Glad you're with us, Bernstein and McKnight. When we come back, you're going to hear from Joe Buck, the national voice of sports, was on over the weekend with Matt Spiegel, and he talked about the era of baseball that was his favorite. We're going to get to that next on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Tying run at second, two out, Palmeiro over the head of Jenks. Uribe charges, throws, out! And the White Sox have won the World Series. Juan Uribe with a play, charging it, throwing it, and the White Sox celebrate their first title in 88 years.
Joe Buck will always be connected in that way with the White Sox championship. He described it. We saw it happen. I was at a bar in Houston, and I shed a happy tear when that happened. I couldn't believe that the White Sox had won the World Series. But indeed they did, and he was the man who described it. He was on The Score over the weekend. Joe Buck was on Hit and Run with The Score's Matt Spiegel. And I was really interested to hear this part where he discussed the era of baseball that was his favorite.
Yesterday I was flipping around channels and I got to MLB Network and they had 1986 Game 5 of the NLCS. And it was Doc Gooden against Nolan Ryan, a young Doc Gooden against an aging, I think he was 39 at the time, Nolan Ryan. Those lineups are just fantastic. I mean, I can remember everybody in each lineup, and I think about how I felt about baseball. That was 17 at that point. And, my God, it just watching baseball from Shea Stadium, which for anybody that ever worked inside Shea Stadium and even diehard Mets fans would tell you that place was just a dump. But seeing it on TV again, I was like, God, I miss that stadium, and I miss those camera angles and the view, like from the on deck circle out into that kind of weird left field, and the apple that would pop up, which I know they moved over, but it just doesn't have the same feel for me. And just baseball at that time, baseball was so, I mean, that was my life back then. And now I've had, you know, with kids and other parts of my career and whatever, you go back and you start watching some of that stuff. Like, I could sit here in my living room or my bedroom and just watch straight, like, the 1980s of baseball. Not the 70s, not the 90s. For me, it would be the 1980s of Major League Baseball. And I would remember damn near everybody that popped onto the screen because I was just, I couldn't get enough.
Well, that's cool stuff from Joe Buck, who is great with Spiegs. Yeah, they're longtime buds, and Buck has been tremendous throughout this whole thing, you know, both on Twitter and the videos that he's been doing and everywhere else. I think I'm kind of with him on that. It's probably not for you, just because I'm the same age as Joe.
Yeah, no, I don't know 80s baseball, really. I mean, I was born in 1985, so any baseball I would have watched in the 80s, I would have been about four or... I mean, it just didn't catch for me. I know some 80s baseball. Like, I go back to some of those players. Obviously, an era that, you know, was a little bit different, I think, than the rest. One of my favorite books, though, and I think I've told you this, and I've passed it along to everybody who's asked, one of my absolute favorite books is And the Bad Guys Won. It's Jeff Perlman's book about the 86 Mets, and it is, I mean, it's the Tiger King of books. Like, every page is another story about how absolutely insane that clubhouse was. Just the preamble to that season for the 86 Mets was something that I was, you know, unaware of. You open the book and Jeff starts writing about how Keith Hernandez went narc on players mm-hmm. in the game that were pushing cocaine around. And that begins the story. So it's this crazy, crazy account of a team that, you know, was a once in a lifetime kind of team with Strawberry and Gooden and Hernandez and all those guys. And it's a terrific story of a book that I think really not only centers that decade of baseball, because it's, you know, it's 86, it's smack dab in the middle, but it kind of centers the, I unless you would tell me differently, Dan, because you were there, it kind of centers the narrative of that decade in baseball too, because of everything those Mets kind of embodied in the 1980s.
Well, it's funny that 86 came up in the same regard, because just completely coincidentally, I'm sitting following along my Twitter timeline yesterday, which I think I have to do less of because I think it's going to make me an absolute crazy, miserable person. And I have to tell myself, my kids have been telling me, Dad, close the computer, walk around, do something else, get some exercise, which is smart of them to do. But Jeff Perlman, the wonderful writer, the biographer of Walter Payton, he wrote that great biography, Sweetness. He started posting spoof book titles that he said were coming out. And he got me on what I got so excited. One of them, he was like something of the 1983 Tampa Bay Buccaneers or something like that. Another had to do with some well-traveled Met and his life. But then it was something that said, My Kind of Town. It's a picture of George Foster. And it says, George Foster, the story of the 1986 Chicago White Sox. And I about jumped out of my chair. Because you talk about wheelhouse for me. And I just went, oh my God, I'm so here for it. This is phenomenal. It's got everything. This is the Hawk Harrelson year. This is Carlton Fisk in left field. This is moving the fences back. This was the first attempt to build a suburban stadium locale. This was Steve Carlton and George Foster. This was the year they traded for Ivan Calderon. So, and I tagged Jeff Perlman, and I said, oh, can you come on the show to talk about this? And he DMs me, and he's like, yeah, it's a
bruh. Yep. With a OG. Bruh, chill. Well? I'm having one here.
Yeah, and here's the thing, though. My first thought, generally when this happens, like you get caught by like a fake Schefter or something, and your first thought is complete embarrassment. My thought wasn't embarrassment. It was actual disappointment. Like, I actually said, you know, all I wanted was for this to be real, because there's so much going on with the 86 White Sox.
You doubled down. That's a Bernstein double down. It's the hell with you,
yeah,
Perlman.
I did. That's
write
your
the book
move.
Already. I want the story. Write the book.
I did. I DM'd him, and I said, figure this out. He goes, no, my actual book is about Kobe and the Lakers. Like, no, I don't care about Kobe and the Lakers. Write about George Foster and the White Sox and whatever was going on that year. You know, maybe it's going to be our job to write it, or somebody's going to write it, but it all of a sudden had me really mindful of that particular team.
I remember reading, you know, when I started with the White Sox going into the 2016 season, I was like, okay, you know what I ought to do is I ought to sit down and make sure I've learned my history as best I can. Because like you say, I was born in 85. Obviously, some big time things happened for the White Sox in the 80s, and particularly in that 86 season. And I remember combing through a whole bunch of things. And I knew that Hawk Harrelson was the general manager of the White Sox, and I knew that some weird stuff happened. But I think I was reading, I think it might have been Richard Roper's book, of all places. He wrote a book on the Sox, and that's his team and who he's rooted for a good long time. And just going through the anecdotal memories that he's got, that he has in his book of the 86 White Sox, you flip page after page and go, how has no one done this story? How has nobody sat down and really kind of taken apart how they got to this point, how they decided that, no, this is what we need to get done, and we're going to move the fences back? Are you kidding?
Idiotic. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget Ken Harrelson saying, our thumpers can hit it out of anywhere. That was his line. Our thumpers can hit it out of anywhere. He then offered, this won't surprise you, no supporting data. It's not like we had exit velocities, launch angles, anything other than estimated distances. When they used to do, and I don't know if you're old enough to remember this, when they would do a distance in an official score in a press box, they would have like an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper that just had numbers written on it for if a home run hits here, we say it's 410. If it hits here, regardless of trajectory, regardless of velocity, it was just literally where the ball hit on the facade or on the foul pole, and they would just almost as close to making it up as they possibly could. So all he said was, our thumpers can hit it out of anywhere. So promptly move the fences back. But remember, 85 was a really good White Sox year. Because, of course, there was the hysteria of the division win in 83 and the incredible disappointment.
Yeah.
And then 84 was, for White Sox fans, was a torture chamber. Because not only were the Sox awful, any Cub-hating White Sox fan, and there were many, had to deal with that magical 84 season for the Cubs. So there are people for whom it was incredibly painful to have gone through that whole summer of the Cubs on the cover of Sports Illustrated, and the White Sox fans, the angry, self-hating White Sox fans, weren't redeemed until Steve Garvey was there to be their ultimate savior for the Padres. But then in 85, that was Ozzie Guillen Rookie of the Year. That was Carlton Fisk, I want to say his 37 home run, MVP candidate season again. And I think Bob James arrived, the big sort of smelly-looking mountain man, arrived as a hard-throwing reliever for him that got interesting for a little bit. And then the fact that 86 had so much promise and was so bad with so many huge names and characters made it kind of a thing in retrospect. I'm kind of thinking that we should do a deep dive on it.
I wouldn't mind at all, because you haven't mentioned the thing that you haven't yet mentioned. The Hawk Harrelson move that stunned me most, again, being a kid born in 1985 and having to go back and really analyze, kind of like as a history project, the 86 White Sox. Harrelson traded Bobby Bonilla for Jose De Leon in July of 1986. I didn't know that happened. Like, that's a tangible, that's not just like the fences moved or what have you. Like, that is a dominoes fall. Here's what happens if the White Sox don't move Bobby Bonilla in July of 86. That story alone, that trade alone, has trickle-down effects within the division and within another World Series game. I mean, it's insane.
I remember being unhappy because very early in the season, that was the year that my friend Dave and I started, we went to a lot of games. And we got there super early one time, and I didn't even really know who Bobby Bonilla was. You didn't have all these prospect lists, and you weren't keeping up with the drafts in quite the same way. And Bobby Bonilla was hanging out right down near the wall before the game, and I got his autograph. And he's like, yeah, sure, here you go. And I thought, oh, this is cool. And then he was pretty good and a pretty dynamic player. And they trade him for Jose De Leon. And I want to say it was right after Jose De Leon had set some kind of record for pitching losses when we thought that was a big deal. He had, I think it was 20-some losses. Like, what are they doing? And Jose De Leon wasn't bad.
You watched him, and he had a split finger pitch that was pretty good. He wasn't bad, but I had gotten an autograph, and I thought, okay, this is fine. And of course, they move him, but not that I've been embittered about Hawks rule.
Not that anything, no. matters. So in this segment, we've not only traipsed through your nostalgic White Sox and what Hawk Harrelson did to them in 86, but we also played a clip starting things off that reinforced, yes, Juan Uribe can be a centerpiece on a World Series team and a World Series winner. Two Dan Bernstein hits, just knock him out of the park before 10 a.m.
Yep, got to own that one. I said no team with Juan Uribe as a shortstop, whatever, win a World Series. I put that right next to no team with Avery Johnson as its point guard could win an NBA championship. That's the kind of sports thoughts you get here. That's really going to make you the intelligent, informed sports fan. We're going to be more of that in just a bit. Because Micah Johnson, the former White Sox infielder, has had some interesting thoughts. He's a bit of a renaissance man. He's become an artist in his post-baseball career, but he has had some thoughts about what's going on with some minor league baseball players and what this shutdown is going to do to them. He's an interesting guy, and we look forward to talking with him next on the Bernstein and McKnight Show on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.